Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Chosen the way. We have made up our minds to choose the way. Help us, Lord of Heaven. You are the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you, Jesus. There is no like you. No one could touch my life like you do. I can stand to love eternity long and find there is no one like you. Again tonight in acknowledgement that you are the Alpha and the Omega. It was you who made the declaration that you alone made light and you are the one who created darkness. You are the one who has the power to make alive and has the power to kill. You are the one that has the power to open and you have the power to shut. You say when you open no man can shut, and when you shut no man can open. They've not been born. It's a privilege again to be associated with you. I thank you, Father, for what you have been taking us through. Thank you, Father, for the mercies which you have shown to us. Thank you for the grace that has been given to us to help us to overcome challenges, to overcome all that has been like hindrances in our lives. Thank you for victories you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for insight. Thank you for understanding. Thank you, Father, for the angels that have been watching over us. They've kept us. They've preserved us. They've fought over us just to make sure that we inherit what you have promised. We thank you for them. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work he's doing. He has been a great friend. His fellowship has been precious. We give you praise. Even as we come today by the precious blood of Jesus, into your presence I ask that Lord of glory, that you will be glorified again in our midst in Jesus' name. Open your scriptures to us. Make us to understand. Let the things that have been unclear, let them become clearer. Let hearts be strengthened. Let the weak hands that are feeble, let them be strengthened. Let legs that have been out of the way, let them come back in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, tonight. Help my weakness. You promise that your strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Show yourself strong again tonight. Grant me utterance. Grant me sight to see things that I've not seen before and to speak that which is true and that which is accurate in the name of Jesus. Build your church, O God. Let not the gates of hell prevail in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for those who are here. And for those who are on their way, we pray that you will speed in their steps in the name of Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. Because we pray it with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, church. You're welcome tonight. Ushering department, I should not be the one asking you to come in forward. Where you are, please, can we move forward? Mommy, Bibukun, can you please come to the center? Hallelujah. Praise God. Mommy, you're welcome from Lagos. Hallelujah. Thank God for joining mercies. Pastor, where with you? Amen. Pastor Obolu Ekaile. Omiye IBK. Bless the name of the Lord. Nice to see you again. Every other person, you are welcome in Jesus' name. All protocol duly observed. Praise God. I said because you are recognized. But do you want me to greet all of you? Greet Theophilus of the house of Jahel, of the house of Salumide. Okay, brother, I will. All of you, sir. Don't let me lose the anointing. Since you know what I'm trying to do. Praise God. Last week, as a continuation of the series, I delved into the issue of dunamis and the issue of authority. I want to go a little bit more on the issue of authority, then I'll talk about dunamis, and then from there, I'll start talking about the other things. Praise God. You see, this evening, as we're coming back, on the way from Akungba, we, Pastor Dele, all of us, were sharing our experiences when we were way back in school. And it was very interesting. Well, of course, we're laughing over it. May God bless you with experiences. See, my principal used to say that you can have the same number of clothes like your father, but you cannot have the same number of rags. Those rags are called experiences. When you stand before people and we ask you, what are your experiences in the Lord? It's very important. Many of you don't have the experiences you should have while you are still young. And I don't know when you are going to get it. Some of us made our mistakes, but we thank God. Someone was sharing how he left school. And they will go to Badagry and be casting out devils there. He didn't come for lectures. And when it's time for the exam, we have to pray God to pass us. Praise God. And if God shows mercy, we'll get C minus. Hallelujah. That's 40. But we're passing. Praise God. And that's an experience. So when you talk about the work of faith, we have done our own bit. Be Pastor B. We have tried our own bit. Amen. We have the scars to show. The battle scars to show. Some of you don't have the battle scars. I was sharing how the Holy Ghost I told my colleagues, Holy Ghost told me to leave school 200 level. Have you been there? Holy Ghost told me to leave school 200 level. And I packed my things and I was preparing to leave school. The last Sunday in school, a sister called me. Said, while she was praying, the Holy Ghost said she should come and tell me you should not go. And I was confused. How can the Holy Ghost tell me to leave? And the Holy Ghost is telling you I should not leave. Praise God. So I went back to pray. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm confused. What is wrong? I said, people are perishing, people are dying, and I want to go out and go and play my own part and save them. And I cannot forget what he said. He said, before I was born, they were perishing. After I die, they will still perish. Stay and complete what I asked you to do. That was my first lesson in being deceived. People don't understand the operations of spirits. The second time I was deceived, I won't tell you tonight. Praise God. So when he called his 12 disciples together, the Bible says they gave them power and what? Authority. This, because when we're talking about propagating the kingdom, you'll be coming against spirits. You are coming against fallen spirits. And let me tell you, they don't take prisoners. It's not a game. It's an issue of life and death. And because men don't understand demonic operations, they fall prey to those spirits. In this series, I will not be able to go through the whole spheres of demonology, but we'll delve into it, because we need to understand the way that Paul said that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Many people are ignorant. And they say we should not preach devil. We preach Holy Ghost. Jesus spoke more about those matters than any pastor that I know of. Praise God. So these are things we must speak about. And we must understand them. And I'm trusting God will help us in Jesus' name. So I want to talk about authority this evening, I beg your pardon. And like I said last week, we did a definition of what power means. Power is dunamis. That's power. Ability to do things. Praise God. But authority is permission to do it. So he gave them both the ability and the permission. Praise God. If we are going to move the kingdom forward, we must get the what? Ability. And must get the what? The permission. Most of us do not know how much dunamis is residing in us. But I'm not talking about dunamis. But we will talk about that. That you will know that dunamis is measurable. Praise God. It's measurable. What you call anointing is actually dunamis. And it is in quantities. You can acquire more. But before you start acquiring dunamis, there are certain things you must put in place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 12. When he was speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. Look at, let's pick the top from verse 29. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of what? Miracles. Now these are ministry gifts who are embodied dunamis. Do you understand me? They are what? They are embodied. They've embodied both dunamis and which other word? What's the second one? Exousia. They have, because basically they give them power and what? Authority. They are embodiments. But I said this, have all the gifts of healing? No. That's the truth. We don't all have the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues for ministry? No. Do all interpret at the level of ministry? No. He now said, but do what? Convert earnestly what? The best gifts. You need to convert it. So it is important that you convert what? The dunamis of God. It's not wrong to convert it. In fact, I will want to say, by permission, I speak not of the Lord, I speak as myself, praise the Lord. Is that okay? You know, Paul said at the time he said the Lord spoke, as I said, I speak by Paul, as one who has found mercy, praise God. I think it will be ungodly if you are not converting for spiritual gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are not covetous of spiritual gifts, there's something is not right with you. You are not balanced. You are not complete. Is that okay? Like I said, everywhere in the Bible, God hates covetousness. But for spiritual gifts, God has given you permission to be covetous. How many of you knew this person, Oliver Twist? You've heard about the story of Oliver Twist, who keeps asking for more. With spiritual gifts, you can keep asking for more. God is interested in giving liberally without upbraiding. Praise God. But hear what Paul said. Said, but, and yet, show I unto you a what? A more excellent way. The problem we have in the body is that people have not learned the more excellent way. I know from experience that you can acquire spiritual power. Now, when I use the word spiritual power, I'm not saying it is necessarily Holy Ghost power. Because Holy Ghost power comes with its own rules and guidelines. Praise God. There was a time the apostles went there, they were passing through Samaria with Jesus. And the Bible says the Samaritans, knowing that Jesus was not planning to stay, he did not receive him. You know, when somebody is not making you happy, you just bone. Go. So they did that kind of, gave Jesus that kind of cold shoulder, and the apostles were angry. They were so angry, and I don't know how they could have been treated. To which I said, Lord, I thank God they asked Jesus for Christ's permission. Can we call down fire? This ungrateful lot. I remember this one. There was one you opened his eyes. Look at him. This one is like you shaking it. And they were, can we call down fire to consume them? Because they are very, very, very ungrateful. Praise God. And Jesus Christ said, you don't know the kind of spirit you are made up of. Because the spirit was not given to destroy people. But I want to ask you, if they had called down the fire, would that thing not have responded? They have responded. The fire would have come down. Jesus would have had to reverse and create a problem for Jesus. But he would have solved the problem. Praise God. What am I trying to say? The power of the spirit comes with its own guidelines and limitations. You can't just deploy it as your own will. It's not yours to deploy. Amen. But you can acquire spiritual power that you can deploy at your own will. And people cannot recognize the difference between supernatural manifestations and the Holy Ghost manifestation. We'll talk about that. Praise the Lord. There is a more excellent way to do it. Verse 1, chapter 3. Chapter 13. Beg your pardon. Chapter 13. So I show you a more excellent way. Now said, he now began to tell us the manifestations of the Spirit, which actually are manifestations of dunamis. These are the power manifestations of the Spirit. Praise God. And it is possible for you to manifest these powers and use these things without agape love. Now, agape love is not something you pick on the road. It's something that Holy Ghost must do with you. Hallelujah. Agape love is the God kind of love. Sure, you know the meaning of God. But if you don't know the meaning, because you have not been there before, they have to pour that love into your heart. You cannot acquire by, it's not within the realm of the human existence and human experiences for you to have agape love. Paul was trying to explain agape love. He said, Scarcely will a man die for a friend. You may find one out of 100 million who will say, for the sake of my friend, I will lay down my life and die. Praise the Lord. But for a man to die for his enemies, for rebels who have sworn that he will not prosper, and he said, let me die for them, it takes more than ordinary love. Praise God. Am I communicating? God, it's only God that can pour that love. They must pour it into your heart. And so Paul will say, I may speak with tongues of men and of angels, and yet I may not have that God kind of love. Praise God. He says, what will it make you? A sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal? Just making noise. Of course, I may have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. When you say all mysteries, it means all mysteries. There's a mystery in the Bible we have not decoded. It's called the mystery of the seven thunders. Do you know anybody who has preached that message before? Do you know where it is in the book of the Bible? But Molu, where is the seven thunders? What happened in the days of the seven thunders? You don't know. You don't know where it is in the Bible. You know it's in Leviticus. And he had seven thunders utter their voices. And I was to write. And the Spirit said, don't write. It's a mystery to tomorrow. We don't know what the seven thunders uttered. So supposing I now come and say, praise God, man of God, the Lord just, to show how superior we are, we know what the seven thunders said. I know, I'm very sure all of you here will be mesmerized by my knowledge. Praise God. But you see, you can have that understanding, and you have all knowledge, and though you have all faith, so that you can do what? Remove mountains. And have not that God kind of love, it still says that you are still very, very nothing. I now began to explain what that kind of love will do. Praise God. We really can't know, you really can't know whether that love is there until we throw you inside situations. Am I communicating? We need to prove you. It can't be found by mouth. It can't be done by prayer. Father, give me love. Father, give me love. Father, give me love. We will never know whether the Father has answered your prayers or not until we throw you inside a situation that will warrant you reacting like a normal man. Hallelujah. It is when you don't react like a normal man that we now know, okay, the Lord has answered his prayers. He has poured into his heart that love that passeth all understanding. How many of you have ever asked God to give me humility? Lord, I want to be humble. You have prayed that prayer, praise God. Those are dangerous prayers, but they are good. Suddenly, somebody that has no reason to look up or look in your eye will now mess you up. Then you will say, if not for the fact that I am a brother, you don't know that you have not gotten that humility. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? We learn these things from what? Experiences. Praise God. And so the Bible says, if that thing is not there, you can get all these things and manifest all these things, but you are still zero. And so what am I trying to say is that in the pursuit of spiritual power, especially if it's going to be the Holy Ghost kind of power, you must pursue it legally. And the only legal way of doing it is by what? Agape love. That's the path. So before you even start asking God for power, deal with the issue of agape love. Amen. I said amen. Do you know it's possible to ask God, God, I don't like the way people are sick. I want to just, Lord, give me the anointing to heal the sick. And there's no love in your heart. Do you know it's possible? You know it's possible. I've had testimonies that you don't have love. You have no feeling. Just come, show off, and you walk away. No. You are going to destroy yourself. Not the people you are ministering to, but you yourself. And that's dangerous. So these are things, I'm not talking about dunamis tonight. Praise the Lord. I just fell there and I'm returning to where I want to go to. Hallelujah. All right. So we've talked about him giving them power, and he gave them authority, and he gave them over all devils and all. Do you realize he did not give anyone power over any human being? Did you observe that? Not over any human being. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul said, even with all the authority at his disposal, Paul kept saying, I persuade all men. If a man chooses not to accept Christ, you can't force him. There was a skit I watched. The guy went to preach, and the man they were preaching to was very unreasonable and was making noise. And the brother just put his hand inside bag and brought down an AK-47 rifle. I said, yes, I was talking about receiving Christ. Of course, the guy had to receive Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you see, that is not the kind of Christ we are preaching. Glory to God. So, we need to understand the concept of authority. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 7, 29. There is something that we must realize. Matthew 7, 29. It was said about Jesus. And the Bible says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There are many things that confers authority on a person. Many types of authority. Maybe next week I'll talk about it. But one thing that was clear about Jesus was that he had a more accurate understanding of what he was talking about. Praise God. Accurate understanding. When a professor stands to speak, not by height, not by color, not by dressing, it's by superior understanding. The man has invested time. He has invested resources. He has invested so much into acquiring an understanding in a field of study. And so when he begins to speak, he speaks as one who has what? Authority. Amen. So you find that the scribes had no understanding of the topics they were handling. Praise God. And when a person has no understanding, you should know that he remains small. Hallelujah. For example, you ask me to come and talk about physics. There's very little I can tell you about physics. I don't know. Beyond, it was the three laws of motion, I don't remember again. Praise God. So you come and say, come and teach me physics. You will fail YX so well that YX will write you a letter not to come back. Because I'm not an authority. Praise God. Do you understand me? I don't have the grasp of the topics. But the scribes had no grasp of the topic. Jesus had a full grasp of what he was talking about. Now, so that, you ask, how did Jesus have a full grasp of what he was talking about? Because his father taught him. How many of you have had experiences before? I don't know when. But I had had experiences in the night seasons. Somebody would come to me in the night and start explaining scriptures to me. Have you had that experience? Yeah, I've had that experience. You just teach me. But not every time. Most of the time, too, while I'm reading it, it just opens. Praise God. And sometimes I learn things while I am praying. While I'm leading prayer points, the scriptures will just start opening. And while I'm preaching, the scriptures can open. So, it comes in various ways. Praise God. Are you with me? But the important thing is that authority is acquired by knowledge. You must know your subject matter. Our subject matter is the kingdom and the dynamics and how the kingdom operates. You must acquire that knowledge. Because that's what makes you superior. Praise God. I said praise God. So if you don't know, you can't operate. You are just going to be like a mere man. Working of miracles is not, you see, working of miracles, yes, it's a supernatural. But see, the way the supernatural works with the working of miracles is that it's clear in your mind how you are going to do it. You just know. Praise God. You just have the knowing that once they came to Jesus, they said this man was born blind. And Jesus knew what he ought to do. He just knew. He did kelebe. You know kelebe. Spat on the floor, did mixture, rubbed his eyes, very unhygienic, praise God. I said, go and wash in the boot of Siloam. And the man went to wash and his eyes opened. How did that happen? Oh, he said supernatural. Yes, but there was a knowing. So why he was different from the rest is that he knew what to do. So that confers upon you what? Authority. You see the dead. The reason why we struggle with the dead, we can't raise the dead, we don't know what to do. We are perplexed. But when a man who knows what to do comes, he doesn't guess. He just goes there. I was said to Smith Wilkins once that there was a dead man and he came there and he raised the man, leave in Jesus' name. The man fell back. He raised him, leave. At one time, he just carried him and threw him against the wall, leave in the name of, and the man jumped up and coughed down. He was okay. The rest of them, hey, Koyewa. Knowledge, Jimmy. They said of Archbishop the downside. He did a miracle, was it a crusade in Safa Balewa? And during the crusade, I don't know what happened. High tension fell. And brethren didn't know. And they just stepped on high tension wire and were electrocuted. Archbishop was leaving the crusade when they came to tell us that there's a crisis. What? Their brethren are dead. They stepped on high tension wire. And they said, Yosua said, no problem. Say, line them up. They laid them on the floor. I don't know how many of them. Maybe over 30 or 40, I don't know. And they stood at one hand like this. And Archbishop said, rise! And all of them were coughing, they were coughing and they were getting up. The rest were like, it's knowledge. That's why they said it's Babake. It's Babake because he knows what to do. May you be blessed when you find somebody that knows what to do. To call you a savior is that you have solution to the problem. You have the knowledge. I and Pastor were talking this morning and this evening it also came out that people, how many of you read Christian books? That, okay, just pick one topic, holiness. And you want to be a professor on holiness. I doubt it. Many of us are jack of all trade and master of none. There's none that you really have any full grasp on. You don't know the, my goodness. When we were talking about redemption on Saturday, we thought it was a small topic. In fact, I was afraid that in less than 20 minutes we'll be through with redemption. But the more we delve into it, the more the thing kept opening. I was like, wow. And you say, I passed the Otikwe Timothy car. Praise God. So we have to go back and dig that well again. So there's very little we can do than just, just give you the basic snapshots of it, bullets. You want to go back and do your own research. The Berean Christians were commended because they went home to do their own personal research. So if you want to be a man of authority, you must be a man of what? Knowledge. You also, and I've said it before. Praise the Lord. Give me 2 Peter chapter 3. Am I correct? 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. He says, according to what? His divine power. That's dunamis. Has given us unto what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through what? Knowledge. It's knowledge. The more of him you know, the more you know what to do. Amen. Listen to me. When Elijah, you remember the story of Elijah and those 850 false prophets? You know, one was 400, one was 450. 850 near Elijah. That was really serious. The Bible said, it told them, let us have this contest. They agreed to the contest. And I told you why they agreed to the contest. Because the god called Baal is the god of Shango, lightning and fire. Do you understand me? He's the one the Druids worship. He's the one we worship in Nigeria. We call him Shango. I don't know what they call him in the north. But it's a common principality that rules all over the world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So they, in their worship, in their meetings, they normally play with fire. So for them to have accepted to do that, they felt so confident that Elijah had made a big mistake. But before Elijah came, Elijah had bound their God. Again, it's called knowledge. I don't understand what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ said, who going into the house of a strong man will not first do what? Binding. If Elijah had entered that contest without binding that spirit, he would have been disgraced. Sure, you understand? So before he mentioned it, he had been proactive in realizing that if I give this guy, they will take this bait. But before I give it, let me take care of our God. So he held him bound. Angels bound that guy, that guy could not even cry. I'm being imprisoned, though. He couldn't even communicate. Praise God. We talk about angelic warfare. And so, for the whole day, he was taunting them. The Bible says, when it was time, please pay attention, when it was time for what? The evening sacrifice. If he had attempted to make that sacrifice before that time, he would have failed. It's called knowledge. What do you know about him? And then he made it. Then he now put water, did everything. And as he calls, please pay attention to the wordings of his prayers. He didn't just pray anyhow. Praise the Lord. Can you please run to where Elijah was doing that, his prayers? Pastor said we don't ask. You know why we don't ask? We don't even know the protocol of asking. There's a way to approach and ask. Like students will just come to me. They just barge into my office. Say, yeah, sir. And I will drive them out. You don't come to my brand and say, yeah. Or I say, yeah, get out of my office. You don't know what to do. Because they don't understand the protocol. So as far as they are concerned, I'm a very wicked, very unapproachable, very fearful. And those who know me, you don't know this person you're talking about. Ah, wrong engineer! If you don't know him, he's very jovial. I said, no, why will I not be? Because they don't understand how to approach. The Bible says a fool wearies himself because he does not know how to enter the city. It's called knowledge. There's spiritual knowledge. Are you there? And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Verse 37. Hear, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And I turned their hearts back again. 38. And then the fire of the Lord did what? Fell. It is tied with God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are covenant names. It was invoking covenant. Look, you don't just approach God anyhow. Some of you say, no, you cannot use God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It shows that you don't understand anything. Because he has ceased to be God of Abraham, Isaac, and what? Jacob. Read the New Testament. You find Paul always say, the God of our who? Lord Jesus. So if you don't understand those things, you just open your mouth, bow, you get zero. Do you understand me? It's called knowledge. And when you are grounded in knowledge, when you understand this spiritual dynamics, you become a man or a woman of what? Authority. Did I not remember, did you remember the testimony I shared with us? How a brother or brothers were conducting a deliverance session. And the demon in that, when the man looked at them and said, you, where are you standing? And the gentle brother, who is just a bro, said, I'm on my 2 feet. And the guy issued him a dirty slap for answering wrongly. Praise God. Then he told the other brother, say, where are you standing? That one said, I'm not standing. I'm seated. With Christ, far above Do you understand me? It's knowledge. If you don't know what you are handling, the spirits will know. Praise God. So you now know why Paul says, study to do what? To show yourself approved. Because they will put you to test. One day. One stupid demon will just throw wide carry. Bros, where are you standing? Standing. Value my brother. When somebody love me. Oh, repay Modulu. Amen. Amen. Somebody told me of a when we're coming. I don't know whether you listen to the instead of a classmate used to cast out devils and went to one stream in Ife to go and cast out the devil inside the stream. And he said, brother, you have been casting out all these demons. Where do they want to go? We know that stream they will go. Where would they we now cast them out of the stream, where would they now go? Praise God. But he will not let him have common sense. So he kept casting out, and one day, said one hip now jumped out of the river, came and said, you will see my hand. Said the guy fell sick. They said, they have to go and pray to save him. Praise God. Zeal is good, but when you misapply it, so you've heard about zeal without knowledge. Praise God. Amen. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So knowledge is important, and it's a source and a of serious authority. Now, Matthew 8, verse 9. This is another important principle of authority you and I must understand. Hallelujah. Are you there? Now, can you go back up? Can you go to verse... And the centurion, Jesus was to come to the house of the centurion, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. I don't know how, I don't understand. The man was in his house, and he sent people to go and meet Jesus. And Jesus Christ said, okay, I will come. And the Bible said the man responded, I don't know. Maybe when Jesus Christ said, I will come, he had not moved. He was still busy doing whatever it was he was doing. So some people ran back. Wait, please prepare the room. A guy is coming. Get the parlor ready. Let us get this. You know all the things that we do for man of God. Hallelujah. He said, go back and tell Jesus. He said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my what? Roof. Said, but do what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9. He now said this. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. Verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, what happened? He marveled. What made him marvel? That there was a Gentile that understood spiritual authority. There's a way spiritual authority works. If you don't understand it, you just might just get in trouble. And he said to them that followed him, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Please, can we just go over that story and let us try and break it down properly. Hallelujah. The man had a servant. I don't know how close the servant was to him. But if we're talking about a centurion, we're talking about these were seasoned Roman soldiers who are conversant with people dying around them. Especially when they step into battle. Praise God. And you see, there's something about Oyibo people. They are easily oppressed. When they kill somebody, especially when they came back from Vietnam war, and they came back from Iraq war and all those, many of them ran mad. Because I don't know what their problem was. They had problems with handling, killing people. They have a place back in their minds. They hear sounds. They just relate. It's a trauma. Are they post something trauma? I don't know what they call it. I'm not a psychologist, but I just have a little understanding there. Praise God. I had a situation, somebody told me about, it was Air Vice Marshal Sadiq that told me when we went to Maiduguri, we were just passing along, we said it was here that one Igbo man dived into the gutter. A jet fighter flew over their head, and the man without thinking dived into the gutter, and he was drenched. I'm talking about 1987, 88. And all the outsiders there were, it's just like gutter, The man came out embarrassed and wet. I said to them, if you know what this thing can do, you will not be laughing. Praise God. My sister-in-law said, in Liberia, they were running, they were under fire, and they were running. Apparently, the Nigerian Air Force did not distinguish who was a rebel and who was not a rebel. They just opened fire. And one person that they were both running away from the plane said that they were running together. And in the next instance, she had been decimated in half by bullets. Bullet cut her in half. A minute ago, she was alive. The following minute, ceased to exist. And she was telling me, by said, this thing you guys are playing with in Nigeria. This is how Liberian war started. It was like joke. But we are still saying, I'm a teku. And when we got, if you see war, it's not funny. It's only good in film. Ask them. Those Igbos that fought the Civil War know that they were eating their children. They were eating dead bodies to stay alive. It's only good. It's only just be watching that Rambo film. Just watch, enjoy it. But real life. Like a king said, it is he who removes the armor that should boast. Not he that just wearing it. Because you don't know who will survive the war. So, as we shout at Botekun, just know and be praying, Holy Spirit, Shakara Neo. We don't mean it to. Don't let it happen, Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, where was I? So, we are talking about a soldier who is used to people dying around him. So why will he be interested in one servant dying or not dying? I don't know whether you understand me. So we had a man who had somewhere, yeah, he was a soldier, but somehow he was able to switch. When he came back home, he was able to make that transition and have compassion. Praise God. And he was very, very interested in his servant not dying. Maybe that man was good to him. Maybe that man was faithful to him. He just wanted him to be alive. And you see, when we talk about God will help us, in raising the dead or in healing, there's a component that many of us have not realized. It's called compassion. Can you feel? Can you enter into that man's suffering and feel? Go and read many places in the Bible, and Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. This, I don't know, but I don't know who we're talking about healing. Praise God. But I know that without compassion, it's difficult to walk in the healing anointing. You must have it. If you're going to do deliverance, you must hate iniquity like anything. That when you see demons, you're angry. And say, why should this daughter of Abraham be bound for 18 years? And you're angry. And say, loose him and let him go. You need those kind of attitude. Otherwise, you can't do those things. Are you with me, church? So the Bible told us that the man, when Jesus Christ said, I will call, he said a word to Jesus. He said, I am a man under, that was the first thing he said, I'm a man under authority. You cannot wield spiritual authority if you are not under authority yourself. One of the most dangerous things in the church is lawless people walking around. You have a lot of lawless people. They are in church, but they are not submissive to anybody. They run their lives the way they want to run their lives. They do things the way they want to do things. They go where they want to go. They say what they want to say. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. And there is no way they can commit to your hands true spiritual authority. Most of the problems we have around are people who have never been under anybody. I can, if you want me, which I will not do tonight, because there are things we don't say among church members. When we get to pastor, we mention names. Praise God. I've observed certain spiritual leaders all over the world. When you look at their history, they were never under anyone at any particular time of their spiritual growth. They just arrived and began to operate. When you look at the way they handle men and handle people, God's children, you know that these people have never been under authority. And it's dangerous. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm a man under authority. And that is why he can marshal and lead people under him. Amen. I was telling you in the morning about, I don't know why I keep saying in the morning, at the beginning of this teaching, that where we are coming from, how do you stay in fellowship? Pastor Bolu, I don't know whether that was the case. Pastor, I don't know whether that was the case. When your junior was the fellowship president, how did you relate? I don't know that. I don't know. I've not been there. The closest I came was my level mate was my president. And dare not say, time will show you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We had to give him the honor because of that office. Praise God. We have to obey. Even though we don't agree, we have to say, we'll go ahead and do it. Because one day we also will be given authority to handle. So if you could not stay under a person and could not be submissive, there is no chance that you will handle leadership properly. Praise God. I remember, I can't forget, that Brother Taiwo called me one day and lambasted me. Praise God. This is Brother Taiwo. That's if Brother Orina, you know Orina, Bossa in when Orina sees him, he's a bishop now, but Orina will see him and say, we call him Taiwo, we'll put bishop. And he dare not say, don't you know I'm a bishop? That guy will tell him his history. Yeah, we were coming from Odogbolu together. So you come to Omaya, come and be bishop being me. Praise God. Some of you, when you see some of my classmates, they don't call me pastor, they call me Sheyi. I don't say that you don't respect authority. No. We are mates. Amen. Glory to God. So what am I trying to say? You must learn how to be under authority. That's where it starts from. No one is created by God to start from the top. They are created to start from somewhere. If there's no spiritual... excuse me. Oh, please leave. Those things are anointed to disgrace people. Please relocate. Is it possible to put off this center light? We are not recording now. Please put it off, Rosaloma, so that you don't disgrace the anointed. Amen. Where was I? I lost my train of thought. I was thinking about these insects. No one was created to start from the top. Why did you think God picked Elisha? I hope this has not hurt my body. The way I'm feeling. It's a feeling. Even though they've not hurt, but I'm just feeling. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Why do you think God picked Elisha? The Bible said Elisha was plowing with his father's oxen. There was drought, but Elisha was doing what? Was plowing. When Elijah cast his mantle on him, what did Elisha say? He said, let me go back to my parents and bid them farewell. Some of you don't wait for your parents. I know the parents of Elisha were not prophets. Are you with me? I know that they were not men of God. I know they were just ordinary folks. Yet Elisha said, let me go back to my parents and do what? Beat them. If his parents had said no, Elisha would not have been able to leave. Praise God. Am I communicating? And even Elisha left, he was submissive. Not to Elijah, but to the sons of the prophets. Praise God. Do you know that 365 days is no joke? I'm a kid that went to secondary school, original secondary school. Did you go to Fuashaye? Where did you go? University. You arrived at university, you just arrived at the gate that they gave you. Praise God. Where we went from one, from two, we punish us. You see that small rat punishing me, big man. He said, it's 365 days old. It's not joke. Praise God. Amen. It's not height. You have to obey. So if you've not learned how to obey, you can't wield authority. In obeying, they will insult you. They will oppress you. They will do all kinds of things. I know it's so interesting that God may arrange an unbeliever to be the one who will mentor you. And they will be watching you. Whether you will run away or you will stay. People have failed their calling in life because they could not stay. So authority, you cannot be welded in the realm of the spirit if you have not been submissive. If you have been a rebel, spirits will know that you have been a rebel. You want to come and talk to us, they will just laugh and walk away. Am I communicating? So you cannot... Now, let me close with this. I have to close. Remember the word of God said, just James I was saying. James said, how can you claim you love God that you have not seen? When you cannot love the brother that you are looking at. And then I now understood that how can you claim that you will obey God you have not seen, when you cannot obey men that you can see? Don't you know that that's where your exam starts from? Can you obey men that you can see? Even when they are saying stupid things and ask you to do stupid things and you are not willing to obey because they are men. Let me tell you, you will never hear the Holy Ghost talk to you. If any God is talking to you, is a false spirit. Because that's where it starts from. Oh, you don't understand. How was it that they picked David? David was the last born son of his father. And all responsibilities was always put. I don't know if you guys have, how many of you are firstborns? Oh my God. Praise God. You know how it goes. When your father or mother sends you an errand, you bounce on your second. The second looks back and says, who is there? Oh yeah, go and do it. Until he gets to the last born that knows no one to call. When he turns around, there's nobody there. He's going to use his head to clear the mess. So David was always the one being sent on an errand. So when his senior brother Eliab also came and we saw his biceps and his eyes and everything, and the prophet said, behold, the Lord's anointed is before him. God said, I have rejected him. That means he'd done the exam and the boy had failed. Where did he fail? In the small instructions they were giving him. When they call it, Daddy, leave me alone. You're always calling me. Oh, David, yeah, go and do it. Go and do it. But you see, I said, Daddy, David, go and do it. And David will go and do it without complaining. You think it was a joke that they went to call David? Praise the Lord. That's part of his training. He needs it. It starts from there. They are watching everything you are doing. And I like this when we're in secondary school. Obey before. When you have obeyed, finished, is there any need to complain again? No. Amen. There's no need to complain again. But let me tell you, That training made you a better person. It made you a better person at the end of the day. Again, I will not forget that film. The officer and the gentleman. It was a sergeant that took them in. He came somewhere. Where are you from? Kentucky. Oh, so nothing good comes from Kentucky. And he finished Kentucky. Finished his lineage. Finished his family. Made him look so idiotic. And that was how he treated them for that few years in boot camp. So much so that he had destroyed one guy's self-esteem. The guy went to hang himself. Praise God. But you know why? I'll talk more about that. One of the first things they must do in boot camp is to remove your ability to think. What did I say they must do? Remove your ability to do what? To think. You are not allowed to think. Because if they say, officers charge into battle, you can't afford to start thinking, suicide ray. That is mutiny. Are you with me? So they must destroy your capacity. They must take anything human from your heart. You must become a zombie. Praise God. When you become a zombie, it is easy to take you to battle. That's why, do you know that many armies of the world don't employ married men and women as soldiers? You know why? Because they always think about their wives and children. But a 16-year-old boy, 17-year-old boy, what does he know? He knows nothing. We're talking about it in university. We had zeal, no common sense. We would do anything. So that's the best time to employ soldiers. When they have no family tie, they will leave. My brother left home without looking back. My mother cried. Cried her heart out. He pushed my father to go and see the chief of air staff. When he saw the chief of air staff, they summoned my brother. The guy came and the chief of air staff was asking him, do you want to leave the Air Force now? And he looked at the father and said, no. My father cried. Amen. You need that kind of heart to be a soldier. You must cut family ties. The family more. Are you with me? That way, it's easy for you to be used as a soldier. But if you are the person that is still self-opinionated, you are still thinking about my ego, my this, you are not fit for the kingdom. You are not fit. The kingdom will not use you. You will cry to tomorrow, they won't use you. The sons of Jesse could not believe that God will reject them and pick their junior brother. Because it was the one that was there. Who would take every instruction? Who would do everything without complaining? When the Bible says, do all things without complaining and doing what? Murmuring. Because they are recording it. When they say, go and do something, I don't know, these people, they are always, I don't know, this prophet means, well, that's too much. They will record it. Tomorrow say, Lord, use me. They will say, no, I can't use you. But why, Lord? Because you are disobedient. Spiritual authority does not come on a platter of gold. It's not gifting that gives authority. It starts with submission too. Are you submissive? Are you obedient? If you learn submission, submission does not mean you don't have your common sense. Your common sense is intact. Amen. I don't know why sisters are always fighting. I and the brother, we are equal. You are not equal. Praise God. Even though both of you went to school and graduated the same day, but in that relationship, you are not equal. It's like you, the car owner, and the person driving you, you are claiming equality. Are you both equal? No. Because whatever that man decides at the back of that steering is your fate. If he chooses to enter the bottom of the trailer, that is how you will estimate yourself. So, you are the owner of the car. You are the one that employs him, but who is in control? He's the one. Praise God. So, you will use style to brush the trailer so much. Amen. Do you understand? God will help us. We need this understanding. I've not really finished, but I don't know whether I will really continue next week. Can I take one point before I go? Let me take one more point. Praise God. It's not likely. I perceive that we may not have questions to ask tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Mark 10 verse 42. They were fighting, though. Sure, you remember the story. They were okay. Can you go up, please? Can you just return, bro? Michael, go up to. Is it for her? Now, when the ten heard it, now what did they hear? Two of their brothers had used their leverage with their mom, who had a relationship with Jesus, to ask for positions of authority in the coming kingdom. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Next verse. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise what? Lordship over them. And they are great ones exercise authority upon them. 43. But so shall it not be among you. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your what? So when you call a person a minister, what does it mean? A servant. When you call somebody a servant. No, but let me, before I even go. Really. Do you really consider me your servant? See your eyes upside down. In your mind, I'm your leader. But really, the Bible says, he that wants to be who? And some of you will be the chiefest. Shall be what? Praise God. Amen. The truth that you are still very gentilic. Somewhere there, you don't see me as a servant. You see me as a senior pastor. Eh? I am the set. That set is capital S, capital E, and capital T. God bless you. You don't recognize it. Amen. But that's the system we have come to find ourselves. It's difficult for us to accept this kingdom principle that leaders are actually servants. And what should servants do? Abi, is it not to serve? Serve. He gave, when he blessed the 10 loaves and five fishes, he gave it to his disciples to go and serve. Praise God. But Paul said, give honor to those who labor. Can you see the balance? For me, my mindset is that I am your servant. Your own should not think me as a servant. I started, Pastor, why Joe? Oh, Remy, I'm tired. You know, the church lady, never put me in the only communion. Me, I'm your servant. Praise God. I'm not that kind of servant. Can you see where understanding comes in? Praise God. I do not have the right to lord it over your faith. Paul said we are not lords of your faith, but helpers of your faith. So anybody that is aspiring to leadership in the church should realize that he has no time for himself again. You are planning to lose yourself. For the sake of God's people, you can be summoned to do anything. Praise God. But it's up to you to realize that it is your job to what? Honor them. If you don't honor them, you and God will have problems. If we decide to lord over you, we have problems with him. Either way we go, everybody has problems if you're not careful. Should you understand me? Praise God. So Jesus was saying that, look, if you want to exercise authority, you must come with a servant attitude to serve. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, they will not hand over to you spiritual authority. If you come with the intent of being a big guy and showing off, you have failed the most basic examination of spiritual leadership. Hallelujah. So before we start talking about let us go and face devils, let us deal with our own problem first. Sure you understand me? Because if these issues, because all these issues need to be dealt with before you send them out to go and deal with devils. If these issues were not resolved, you step out there, they will know that a rebel has stepped in. And they will ask you, what is the difference between both of us? You are a rebel, I'm a rebel. So what's your problem? Have you not read the kingdom divided itself against the cannot stand? Both of us are the same kingdom. Hallelujah. So these are things you and I must understand and inculcate as we go forward. Let me close with this, and I don't know, and I've had cause to say somewhere. I said one of the most dangerous titles, and this is my personal opinion, that has affected the body of Christ, that has nullified this concept of leadership and servantship, is this book that this man wrote, God Leads Thee, God's General. There is nowhere in the whole Bible that God ever called any of his leaders generals. Nobody is called what? A general. That concept is a Gentilic concept. Because once you carry general, and I say, Pastor Bolu is a general, it therefore presupposes that all communication and everything emanates from him. He's the general of the army. He's the general. But it's only in Nigeria that we have generals and we have no army. Praise God. And so you have seen people's heart being puffed up. Everybody coming to ministry wants to become a general. And that is why I said that book has done great, great evil for us. Because that was ingrained in our minds. And it will take God to purge it from our hearts. That if we are going to be great in the kingdom, what you say you should do? You should be servant of all. So for me, the title should have been God's servants. And then they will tell us how they served God. When you read how they serve God, many of you will not want to join them. Praise the Lord. I was sharing with some young guys this afternoon in the office, and they were talking about greatness and all that, and I was asking them, would you rather be willing if God made you, for example, God just calls you in the night, 2 a.m., and says, son, trek from here to Oba's palace. And when you get there, cry. And I said, thus saith the Lord. If you don't repent, you will perish. I said, are you ready to face the ridicule that will come out of that? 2 a.m. Trek. They will consign you to a mental institution. Now, if they now, after doing the psychological examination, they say, okay. What that becomes spirit, they can't call you momentarily. When you now come back to fellowship, you sit where brother Kenny sitting, everybody will get off. And go, do you understand me? Are you ready to bear the shame? You say, God, use me. I don't know. It's not everybody that will handle microphone. Some they will just use it to display the foolishness of God. Amen. How do you know that you are not the one that God has chosen for that? I say, no, I reject it. You may just be the person. There are depths in God. There are really, really depths in God. You think it was easy for Jeremiah to be the only one speaking for God in Israel? You think it was only easy for Elijah to say, I'm the only one left? Have you been in class before? And they did test. And when everybody finished test, I said, what's the answer? One said, say your own was B. Everybody said their own was A. How do you feel? You feel very, very miserable. Wait, I wanted to choose A. Only to find out after that actually you are the only one that got the... They had this when they say you are the only one that got it. I am cool. But doing that, you now know what it means that when God now uses you as a public ridicule. I could be shamed, yeah? My Lord, go and do it for my sake. You don't know God. He's God now. As he pleases. How do we say to you, but so if he said, okay, I made this one for good, this one for shame, this one for honor. It's his choice. Praise the Lord. So if anyone told that, all of us will be riding jets. If all of us are riding jets, well, hallelujah. There will be no room in the sky. Praise God. God will grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. So what we are trying to say is that, look, in handling spiritual authority, it's a very, very delicate thing. Jesus said, if you are not faithful in another man's business, they can't commit into your hands the true riches. That is kingdom authority. They won't give you. They will test you in your office. They will test you in your house. They test you on the streets. They will test you in the market. They will test you everywhere to see how you have responded before they can hand it over to you. You will now say, well, like someone said, if God does not call me, I call myself. No wahala. When you enter eternity, you go and explain yourself. People think that God is a joker. He's not a joker. Don't cross into eternity to find out that God is not a joker. He is not Alibaba. He's the most serious-minded person that is existing today. Very, very serious-minded. Jesus told the person, said many of his children don't understand that when he said, every I do what? Can you imagine when you stand before God and your hands is behind your back like this? Okay, on so day, when you were 10, you said this, I do what? When I said, when you were 11, you said this, and they are counting all your I do what? You know, your case is a bad case. So may God help mercy on us. Even when you are joking, be serious-minded. You understand that? You are cracking, bro, you say, I'm like a jeans. Actually, you actually like it. It's not that you are actually making fun of his jeans. So, I'm like jeans. But they are like, no jeans all over here. All those statements will account. If you have nothing good to say or think, don't mention it. For fine, praise God. Go your way. Let your yea be yea and your nay be. Anything more than this is what? Is evil. He meant what he said. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any questions or contribution? A blessing. Any contribution? You have not spoken on Tuesday. Today you will speak. My first. Oh yeah, question. Contribute. I know you have taught this before in fellowship. Oh yeah, talk. You must talk by force. By fire. Oh yeah. The church is waiting for you. We have less than 10 minutes. Oh yeah, stand up. Yeah, stand up. Man of God. Should they clap for you? Oh yeah.
Let me. Well, from the beginning of the about spiritual authority and showing us the excellent way through agape love. Okay. All right. You know, why the message? I was just pondering, and I was actually asking the Lord to, you know, to show Himself the more to me. You know, when you said some things, I was looking at God and looking at Uriah, looking at Abigail too. That's why would the Lord, at times I don't know Him. And that was what I was saying in my mind, that I actually don't know Him. Why would the Lord decide to just pick Christ Jesus from Uriah's and not from Abigail, even though it was the words of Abigail that attracted David to Himself, and it was just the body of Uriah's wife that attracted the woman to David. And I was just in as I was seated. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Bro, John the beloved. Yeah.
Daddy, I don't have anything. I don't have any contribution. I will say that obedience is a very It's a tool for accomplishing what God have called us to. In the scriptures, personal, so obedience is a tool to, like, according to his thing, like, so obedience is a tool to it's still seems somehow related. I think it's almost talking about, because obedience to a parent, like, okay, as a human being, as a child. So obedience always my father, always my parents. So obedience, but if I cannot, I should be able to, because Bible says that obey your, honor your parents. So I need to honor my parents. Because God sees, they will not really be same. They are not the same thing. But if I want can, if I want not somebody, I should be able to obey the person also. It's just like, okay, Bible say honor your parents, so. I honor them. I obey my parents. No, I can't do that. They can't send me.
So how is that?
No, they can't.
I'll just talk about the spiritual gifts. Okay, I'll just talk about the spiritual gift where you mentioned that spiritual gift is not actually authority. And in operating in those giftings, there are attitudes. There's certain attitudes that work with those giftings. Okay, like someone that has deliverance gifts should operate in holiness and should hate sin and all that. So No. I'm very concerned about our heart towards spiritual gifts and how we see it as a means to, most of us see spiritual gifts as an height, but today you said it is not actually authority. It is not the place to show off, but it is a place to learn some things. So I agree that.
Sir, you said she will be the last person, sir. Sir, they've said it all. But the only thing that they didn't say, is the mystery they've not decoded, and we can't decode it here tonight. That mystery. No, you said so. We'll go and make research about that, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next week you will bring the results. Okay. All right. All right. Let's make it very snappy.
I think one of those things that I've actually learned tonight, one of those things that I've actually learned tonight was the issue of spiritual gifts, how to covet. You said it's not wrong to covet spiritual gifts. Then my eyes opened to certain facts, truths, that when he was talking about ways of coveting, he said, I show you more excellent way. I think the way that I was talking about was the way of love. You said it the other time that there are ways to covet, as in there are rules and regulations. And I think the rules and regulation, one of the rules of getting to covet spiritual gifts is true love. That's your judge.
I have a question. Okay. You did mention that jack of all trades, master of none. I would like you to explain better, because as a believer, a master of none, you said if his holiness studied very well and exercised authority in that area, if his miracle working and...
But if it is holiness, it's what Amalulu has mastered it. Sure, you understand.
Yes, sorry, sir. because presently in the bodies, you see some church, this is their specification, some church, they are exercising.
Again, it's the maturity of the leader. See, you understand, it's the maturity of the leader. I'm not trying to do that kind of church. I'm trying to allow the Holy Ghost to raise all of you as He has equipped all of you. Mine is to create an enabling environment for you to blossom. So that we don't have that. That's why you don't see me. I'm strong on teaching. Sure, you understand? In hope that you'll pick one. Because most of this is, like I told you, is driven by knowledge. And if you're not properly taught, you can't go well. Sure, you understand? So, again, like I said, it's a sign of the level of their maturity. It was okay when we were coming up that Pastor Kumi spoke a lot about holiness. The church rejected it because they drove it too far. But you cannot remove it from the scriptures. It's there. The Bible said, without holiness, no man will do what? So why are you saying it's not important? I feel sorry for many churches and many people who say they don't believe in holiness. No, I believe everything that is in the Bible. Are you with me? Including Satan. I believe him. That he exists. Praise God. And they told you also how to deal with him. So I will talk to you about him. I'll talk to you about hell. Some people, they don't talk about hell. I was in England. I was telling my friends, don't you tell me so we go to that go to hell. Ah, we don't talk about hell, yeah. You just talk like Jesus loves them. Ah. The same Jesus said that be careful, otherwise you land there. And you say, so that's why I'm not interested in going to America or anywhere. I like this Nigeria. We and all of us will set ourselves out here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sure, you understand. So for you, it's okay if you major. But it's also good. Just like, you know, when we're coming up in the primary school, you learn virtually all this. Something. Then you moved on to secondary school. Now you began to narrow down. So you understand. Then you now went to university. Now you narrow down. Now, but I can't come to you now and say 2 + 2 and you are drawing a blank because I don't like mathematics. No. At this level, you cannot tell me you don't know 2 + 2. Because it's a general thing all of us learn. That's why here you are learning virtually everything. But as you are moving up in the realm of the spirit, you start finding yourself specializing as you go. But when somebody comes to you and says, talk about holiness, even though that's not where you have majored in, you still can flow with the person. I hope you understand me. So can you give it to Brother Solomon? And by God's grace, that will be the end. That's Brother Solomon.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Mine is just a little contribution.
Oh, thank you.
As we were talking, some things were coming to my mind. Because when you spoke about submitting to authority, leadership, so, and I'm also seeing it as, Bible says we should also submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. There are people, I believe, that God has placed in our life that they can also check us. And they can also correct us because pastor will not be there with us at every point in time. Maybe in our hostels, in the school, and all of that. So, because some people have a way of... Some people do not even like people talking to them. You know, in terms of correcting them, advising them, and all of that. So, we should have an attitude of learning from people and also accepting correction when we are being corrected, especially people in the household of faith. And when you know that you are wrong and you are being corrected, we should learn to submit and adjust. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Can we please rise on our feet as we pray? I don't know what you preach from this teaching this evening. I want to pray about those things you preach. Just like Brother Solomon said that he talked about correction. How do you respond to correction? You find that you have issues with correction. That's a prayer point that you need to deal with. If you have a problem with desiring spiritual gifts, you have no such desire in your heart. You have no such desire. I think you need to pray and ask the Lord to intervene in your life. My Lord, I want this thing. You said we should convert it, but this thing is not, I just don't know. Holy Spirit, heal, I need, God, Father, I need you to heal this thing. I need you to deal with this issue in my life. I want to plant this desire in my heart. But Molu spoke about, you know, him now understanding that, oh, okay, we need to walk in love. I have not poured agape love into my heart. Authority has its rules. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your understanding the more. You need to understand spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is not exercised like you exercise natural authority. It's not like that. We are all used to the way Gentiles exercise authority. They say they lord it over God's people, but not so with you. He said those who want to be great must be willing to serve. Can you ask, if you want, Paul said, whosoever desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. Do you have such desire? Do you have a desire for God to use you? Can you talk to the Lord? Lord, I want you to use me. If that is your desire, and God desires to use everybody, but not, that it will not make you an example of a bad person. Someone like Pharaoh was used as an example. You don't want to be like Pharaoh. That God will use and discard you. Talk to the Lord. Some of us are very touchy when it comes to being instructed. They are self-willed. Those are things you need to release and relinquish. He says, if you are faithful in another man's business, they will give you your own true riches. It's called spiritual authority. It's not money. It's authority. But if you are not faithful, talk about that. Make that a prayer point. Bring the man.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.